Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of This Week in Marvel. Today, we're talking all about Marvel's Spider-Man, PlayStation 4. We are talking to the guys behind the story. But before I introduce them, let me introduce myself. My name is Ben Morse. I'm the editorial director of Marvel Digital Media, and I am joined by
Tucker Marcus, assistant editor.
And Maggie Klementova, digital media intern.
And we've got sitting across from us, we've got Dan Slott. Dan, how are you doing?
Hello.
And on the phone from Los Angeles, none other than the golden boy himself, Christos Gage.
Hello. I don't know where I got that title, but I'll take it.
I'm giving it to you, man. I think you're long overdue for a nickname.
I'll take it.
So, boys, before we delve into the specifics of this Spider-Man game, this very exciting Spider-Man video game, I want to know how you guys got involved. Dan, we'll start with you, and then we'll head over to Christos. How did you get webbed in to this particular endeavor?
I was out in California, and they had me over to the where all the magic happens at Insomniac. And they showed me like all the early concepts and some of the early stuff going, and the scale and the scope of the game they wanted to make, and it was like, oh my God. It was really hard not to be wowed over it. Not just their passion, but how much they'd already developed even at that point. Because I remember playing on Atari where Spider-Man was 10 pixels.
Yep.
And like,
Green Goblin flying by every so often.
Yep. On the every system I got as a kid, all the way up through adulthood, it was always to play the Spider-Man game. Like the PS1, the Xbox 360, oh my God, the new Spider-Man game.
What's the story with you, Chris? Similar?
Yeah, I actually got a call from Bill Roseman, who is overseeing Marvel video games now, and he used to be my editor on Avengers Academy and Avengers The Initiative, the comics, and he's like, hey, would you be interested in being involved with this? Because I had written for Marvel video games before I did this Captain America Super Soldier, and I've done some other mobile games and stuff, and I said, sure, and he told me Dan was on board, which is always a draw, because I love working with Dan, and, I came out to Burbank to the Insomniac Studios, and those guys are really terrific, terrific people to work with. I could see that they were fans of the comics, of the source material, and that they wanted to make the best possible Spider-Man game they could possibly make, and they were going to put the time and the effort and the budget into doing exactly that. So I was like, I got to be a part of it.
I got to be part of like the really early version. And I'm sure a lot of it got molded and shaped and squished around. Chris, how many hours of your life, how many hundreds of thousands of hours has been working on this Spider-Man video game?
I mean, this is what I've been doing since I wrapped on season one of Daredevil TV show. Since like early 2015, I've been working on this. It'll be going on 3 years.
This is like your life has bled into this game.
It is, yeah, it is. And I should comment that it's not just me and Dan. There's John Paquette, who's the head writer in Insomniac, and Ben Arfin, another terrific writer. So there's a lot of great people working on the game, and no one person could do it because there's so much to it. I've been working on this for a long time, and it's just, I really look forward. I'm really happy about the positive reaction we've seen from the E3 previews and so forth, because we put a lot of blood, sweat, tears into this, all of us, and we all really want it to be good. So I'm glad that people seem to like it.
I'm curious, Dan, you touched on it briefly, and Chris, I'd love to hear more. I'm curious about your guys' individual backgrounds with video games in general. What was like the first system you ever played? Where were the foundations of the work you've put in now to realizing this game in 2018?
We had in my house, we had like one of the first ever commercial video game systems you could buy called the Odyssey, which was like 8 different versions of Pong on very large computer circuit cartridges that you would have to jam into this thing. But over time, you keep upgrading and upgrading and upgrading. And you got to a point like before video games were online, I had this insane setup in my house where it was every single next gen console you could have, like PS1, N64, Sega Saturn, Dreamcast, like all these tons of systems on multiple sets. I had like I had a Saturn set up where 10 people could play Bomberman at the same time in my house, and I would have just massive video game parties.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then like when back in the day when our distinguished competitors brought me over and wanted me to work on a big project, one of the editors I was working with, Dan Rassler, had been over to my apartment and he'd seen the setup and he played games and he went, I want to get this in on time. If you want to do this Batman project, you have to bring your PS2 into DC and we're going to lock it in the closet until it is done. So, yeah. And
we would never do that to you.
Never. Dude. And once that happened, I got so much work done.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, this was the monkey on my back. Yeah. This was the thing. So ever since then, I've kind of, even when they gave it back to me, I've kind of chilled out and been reasonable about it. But then little things happen, you know, cracks in the door where you start like, oh, I'm gaming again. Like when they got me working on the Shattered Dimensions game.
Sure.
It was like suddenly I'm like, oh, I'm playing every single level of this million times.
Christos, how are you?
Well, same with me. I remember that Pong game. It was basically like all that switched was like the borders. So it was like, now it's Pong. Now it's tennis. But it's still Pong.
now it's hockey.
Yeah, exactly, hockey. And then I had the Atari and the ColecoVision, which I adored. And then we had the Nintendo. And then somewhere around college, I came to the realization, much like Dan, that I do not have good impulse control when it comes to video games. Like, as the games got more, you know, elaborate with stories and things you could finish, I had to obsessively play them until I finished them and I got nothing done, whether it be school, work, whatever. So I've tried to be more judicious about it since then. But much like Dan, I love to use the excuse of work when possible. So I played Shattered Dimensions. When I was doing Captain America game, I played a variety of other games. But yeah, I try to control myself.
So obviously you guys really love video games and you love comics. Can you speak a little to how it was building like a comic book character story? Obviously there have been Spider-Man video games in the past, but how was it building this new story for Spider-Man, but for a video game?
Okay, and you want to go for it?
Yeah, for me, it was just like, the thing that was exciting to me, and this is going to be so egomaniacal, was they're like, we really want to use Mr. Negative. And I was like, my guy!
Yep.
This was like, yay!
Dan Slott, co-creator of Mr. Negative.
Yeah, me and Phil Jimenez.
There you go.
And and seeing stuff like that get into the game, and not just that, with next-gen graphics looking so real. It's weird, because when they brought me into early versions of this, they were like, well, we're going to change some things up. You know, Mr. Negative is going to be more tech powered, right, or this is going to be like this, or that's going to be like that. And they were kind of amazed at how cool I was with everything. Just going like, no, this is the Insomniac Spider-Man.
Yeah.
This is this universe. You know, having just worked on Spider-Verse, which was inspired in large part by Shattered Dimension. Comic book fans are used to multiple continuities and used to multiple things. You're used to like the Marvel Cinematic Universe and this version of Spider-Man in a cartoon and that version of Spider-Man in a cartoon. It's totally cool for any kind of version to put their own stamp on it and have their own kind of reality, have their own kind of, this is what the world is going to be like in the game. So I was really cool with that. I was like, yeah, let's see what the Insomniac Spider-Verse is going to be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with Dan. One of the things that was exciting to me from the start was when they made it clear that they want this to be its own continuity, and because, you know, much like the distinguished competition, the Batman Arkham games are their own continuity. When you're working in another medium, you have to, I think it's important to be aware of and loyal to the source material, but also to understand that you're doing something that will be its own thing. So, like, when we were working on Daredevil Season 1, obviously, everyone involved, throughout it on down, Steve and I were all huge fans of the comics. But in the comics, Daredevil didn't meet Wilson Fisk until issue 170. And, you know, if the character had been around Daredevil for, you know, I don't know how many years at that point, like 15 years. So basically, you can't be too slavish about being loyal to the source material, but you want to get the essence of it right. So what was exciting about that is we're doing our own thing. It's not tied into any movies. It's not tied into any comics. And we want Miles Morales to be in the game. We don't have to worry about he started in the Ultimate Universe and then the universe is merged, because a lot of the people who are playing the game don't know or care about that. You know, they should care about it, but they don't. if they knew about it, they'd care. But, we want it to be fun and accessible for everybody, but we also want there to be a ton of, you know, Easter eggs for longtime fans. It's going to be a lot of fun, and the way that happens is by saying we're doing our own thing here. We're going to pay tribute to everything that's come before, but we have to understand that we're doing our own thing. It's got to work as a game, and I think that commitment to that was what I found very exciting.
Now, you guys have written together before on lots of projects. You've worked on Spider-Man together. You worked on some Avengers stuff together. What's your working relationship like as it translates over to the game? How do you guys, work together? Because obviously you have one modus operandi when you're doing the comics, but when you're doing the game, it's a whole new world. So how do you balance who does?
Well, with this, I was there in the beginning for a little bit.
Oh, so you weren't there at the same time.
I was there at the beginning for like a little bit and helping in the initial stages.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there were some points where we crossed over, like when we were both in the writer's room in Burbank, with John and Brian and Tahar and other folks in Insomniac talking about the story. Then since then, as things have continued on, I've sort of been in the trenches, as it were, doing the day-to-day stuff, and Dan's been super busy with Amazing Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Every now and then I show up and help out on Amazing Spider-Man, just to keep my face around. But yeah, this has been, like I said, this has been the main thing I've been working on for the past 3 years, so it's been exciting.
This is like the sum of my relationship with Chris. It's me working on something and then turning and going, Chris, help! Help me, Chris Gage! Help! Well,
the funny part, and I think that this speaks to, a good writing partnership, is each one of us thinks the other guy is doing the hard part. So, it's like Jack Spratt and his wife. You have two writers who have the exact same set of skills and strengths, there's no reason for them to be writing partners, because they're just duplicating. But, Dan has an easier time with plotting. I have an easier time with scripting.
I love plotting. I hate scripting. and we're very much the flip side. So we work great together.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Chris, I was wondering, you spoke about being in the trenches, and you said you've been working pretty much on this nonstop for nearly 3 years now. What does that mean? What does the work of writing a game like this look like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, initially, there was like doing the macro story, figuring out in a larger sense what's going to happen, what characters are going to be used, what they're how they're going to be similar or different to they are in the comics, what's their dynamic in the game. And then once that was figured out, it was a matter of writing the actual scripts. It's a huge team effort with the developers who sort of come up with the mechanics, the gameplay mechanics, and then, sometimes you come to them and say, we'd like to do this with this particular boss fight, and then sometimes they come to you and say, here's what we've come up with, for this level, and can you work out a story around that? And, it varies. And then, of course, along the way, there's play testing. There's people evaluating stuff and saying, this isn't working out the way we thought it did. Let's change this up. And then sometimes it's like, this is working really well. Let's put more of this in. So it's a very ongoing, evolving process. And it's very much, a large team effort.
Cool.
So obviously we all love Peter Parker, but I'm a huge fan of the supporting cast usually. Can you speak a little to the stories that you know, for MJ, for Miles, for Aunt May?
She is an important character because, so as we finally settled on, she's working at the Feast Center. None of this is spoilers. You can all infer from what we've seen. She's working at the Feast Center, which, of course, is run by Martin Lee, who is, spoiler alert, Mr. Negative.
Bum, bum, bum.
And so, one of the things we all talked about from the beginning is Bill and the folks at Marvel are big on this, is that Spider-Man stories work best when the life of Peter Parker and the life of Spider-Man intersect and cause problems. So, you know, that's part of it. MJ is in it, and I think people have figured out from the what we've seen that there are going to be points where you can play as MJ. Yeah, and one of the things that I think is cool is that in the story, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not.
I think I know what you're about to say. I don't think Insomniac has confirmed that yet.
Okay, then I won't say it.
All right.
Good tease. Phew.
Also Miles in the game, and you know, there's I think that, you know, we're trying to strike a balance between Peter Parker and Spider-Man, but there's definitely that, you know, the Parker luck and the Parker supporting characters, and we didn't want them to just be foils for Peter, you know, like, you know, oh no, Aunt May's in danger and Pete has to go save her. I think in the trailer we've seen a scene where she's asking Pete, you know, do you need money? And he's like, ah, you know, maybe a little. And, you know, we're focusing on their relationships. And I think, you know, the actors we've gotten are amazing, and I think it's going to work out really cool.
Well, before we let you guys go, do you guys have anything else you want to get in there? All right.
Please.
Before we let you guys go, I want to get just what is the one thing you're most excited for people to see when this game comes out that you can talk about?
The thing I most want people to see about this game is what happens after you finish it.
Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa.
All right.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
For me, I want people to see, and I think they already have seen, you know, to me, when I play a game of a superhero, I want to feel like that superhero.
Right.
And I believe that in this game, you will feel like Spider-Man. It won't be one of these things where, you know, he's web-swinging out over the, you know, the Hudson River where there's nothing for his webs to anchor on. I mean, this was a big point of discussion. You know, his webs always have something to anchor on. But you feel like Spider-Man, you swing through the city, you're going to feel like your Spider-Man swinging through the city, and not just swinging, but swinging and running along walls and everything else. It's just, you know, I expect that when I play the game, I'll probably spend like an hour just traversing through New York City because it's so much fun.
Nice. All right, guys. Well, we're so excited for Spider-Man. It's coming in 2018. Dan Slott, Christos Cage, thank you guys for joining us, and thank you for your work on the game.
Thank you.
Until next time, this is Marvel, your universe.